you're going to approach your philosophy and your laws of how you live life far differently than someone who believes there is no God. And so statements that we might make don't make sense to someone who is over there going, well, there is no God, so why in the world would you impose your view of morality on someone else? And maybe over on our side, we're going, well, you don't get to make up the rules because there is a God and he's the one who makes up the rules. And that kind of divergence of thought, it puts us on kind of different thought trains already from the beginning. And not to say that we can't have a conversation. I think we can. But I think it is important to maybe acknowledge that our underlying assumptions are a little bit different. And we have to be a little bit careful not to talk past each other, which is why we're kind of splitting this episode a little bit into two different parts.
Welcome back to Following No One on Stormlight Podcast. This week is episode 274. We're continuing to wrap up Wind and Truth. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great. Less Wind and Truth talk this week, but we're wrapping it up.
Elliot, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited to tackle a complex and very fascinating topic tonight that's going to make us think, I think, quite a bit.
I agree. I've thought about this quite a bit since, episode 256, I think it was, when we brought this up, or it was brought up in the book. To give you a little intro, the title of this episode is On Renarin and Relaine. We are going to directly address the Renarin and Relaine romantic relationship that was brought up in Wind and Truth. We briefly mentioned it, our thoughts on it, on episode 256. To give anyone a little bit of background on this episode, when we made our statement on 256, we had a wide range of reactions. So this episode is to sit down at the end of the book and just debrief and give our thoughts specifically on what we felt about it and how we felt about the inclusion of Renarin and Relaine having a romantic relationship in the book. We're also going to touch on Sanderson's essay on Renarin and Relaine. I'll link that in the description for this episode. And we'll address a mix of statements and questions that we got, make some clarifying statements as well. I want to say thank you to everybody who was polite on 256. And on the back half of 256, we opened up a Discord discussion. And in that Discord discussion, there was, a wide range of productive conversation and unproductive conversation, both. And I want to say thank you to everybody who joined that and had a sincere discussion. It was good. I'm going to throw it to Elliot for a little bit more intro, and then we're going to do some format of the episode.
Yeah, before we jump into talking about more of the details of our reactions and our thoughts and kind of how we're processing the events that we saw take place in Wind and Truth, I actually, as we were discussing this topic as hosts and kind of preparing our thoughts for this episode, I thought of a TED Talk of all things. And if you've not watched this TED Talk, you should go do this right now. It's a TED Talk done by a guy named Ian MacArthur. The title of it is From Tolkien to Sanderson, How Fantasy Helps Us Navigate Life. And he's not talking about anything we're about to talk about in this episode in his TED Talk. It's completely different. But fantastic TED Talk. Go check it out. What he does talk about in that TED Talk is how stories and how fantasy stories specifically can provide a framework, a safe space, if you will, to explore complex thoughts. He talks in that TED Talk about how we can immerse ourselves in a fantasy that allows us to step into new perspectives and explore ideas and not have to carry with us necessarily some of the biases of the world. And so it's a great kind of canvas. It's a great just open forum where we can talk about really complex things. And I've said on this podcast before that I love when stories make me ask the difficult questions, when they pull me into really having to think about, man, what do I believe about that? What do I think that means for me as a person, as a being? And Wind and Truth did that. And this topic we're going to talk about today in this episode, I think, is one of those topics that really made us go a little deeper and make us think a little bit harder. So I'm kind of approaching this from the perspective of how do we approach this topic as it relates to us in the real world, but from the context and the framework of it presented in a fictional story. So I'm hoping we can do that today here in this episode. And with that, I think we can jump in with, I think, kind of a clarification on how we're going to go about this, Trevor.
Yeah. So we're going to split this episode into two distinct parts. The first, I don't know if it's going to be half, but the first half will be addressed to those who specifically don't share our point of view or don't agree with our statement back in 256 or our previous statement on our Faith and Fantasy episode back on Christmas of last year. So if you don't agree with us, the first section of this episode is addressed specifically to you. And then after that, the second half will be more directed to those who more closely agree with us. So I'm going to throw it to Paul and he can start it with the first half.
Absolutely. As Trevor mentioned it, in topics, it's split up. But whether or not you agree with us, I encourage you to listen to the whole discussion. The reason why it's split up is because there's some things that our faith in Christ is based off of the foundation of the Bible. And that is the common ground that we come from. That's not the point that I'm supposed to be talking about right now. But it's an important part. And just as a clarification, that is how we will be talking through. We will be talking about through the lens of the Bible is the true word of God that provides us a framework for life in a lot of ways. And if that's something that you do not agree with, you do not see, you are welcome to listen on. There are just things that may not make as much sense. But anyways, what am I actually supposed to be talking about? kind of diving into some of the things for everyone that if anyone listening, whether or not you agree with us, if you hate our guts, if you love us, like a big clarification that we want to be clear about: everyone in the world, everyone has the same value. Everyone is created in the image of Christ. We are not sitting here to say we are better than someone who disagrees. We are all created by the same God who loves us all, and we all have the same value. So, just to clarify, there's not like a not trying to convey any sense of like superiority on things or things like that, but we want to use what we have as best we can. So, with what the Bible says and with what Jesus Christ teaches, first and foremost, as a follower of Christ, we are to love everyone. We are to love first and foremost, to love our neighbor as ourself, treat others how we would like to be treated. And so we do not hate, we do not dislike anyone for their views on this, anything like that. We received a lot of feedback on our last episode, even back to the Christmas episode, less feedback there maybe, but lots of feedback, some positive, some very negative, but none of that shakes this. None of that shakes the truth, and none of that shakes the care that we want to have for those around us. So with that, I don't want to steal this whole section, so I'm going to pass it off to Elliot.
And I think, Paul, I think you set the picture of kind of where we're coming from really well there, of that foundation that you just explained is the viewpoint that we are coming from as Christians who believe that the Bible is the word of God. And like you said, kind of the framework that we're going about life. If we haven't spelled it out specifically in this episode yet, or if for some reason you have not seen our previous episode where we did talk about this, the statement that we made in the episode, which was one of the episodes where we dived into some of the chapters where we saw some of the parts of Renarin and Relaine's relationship coming to the fore. The statement that we made was that we believe that homosexuality is wrong. And that was kind of where all this kind of pivoted around, was as we are reading that, as we are seeing Renarin's story play out, we felt like we needed to make a statement about that. We needed to explain where we were coming from and what our reactions were to that. And we're going to explain more, I think, in the second half of the episode here, why why we felt it was important for us to kind of explain that. But one thing I wanted to make pretty clear right up here in response to some of the questions and responses that we got from a lot of you guys was, we did not in any sense of it intend for that to be an attack on anyone at all. And a couple of you reached out and talked about how you felt specifically personally attacked by the statement that we made. And I just want to say that was not in our intention at all. We wanted to have a conversation about this. We wanted to share what some of our beliefs were in this space, but what kind of Paul was getting at with the loving others and not hating them, we absolutely want to stay in that kind of realm where we are addressing this from a position of, we would like to talk about what we think is the truth and where we think that comes from, but we absolutely want to love everyone, but everyone, even those in kind of these situations that we're talking about. And by making the statement that we think a lifestyle such as this is wrong, we did not intend for that to be hateful or attacking of anyone.
And to take it one step a little bit further, y'all can go back and look at our statement if you want to in that episode, but it's particularly around that we could not openly like celebrate the relationship. We weren't calling for change. We weren't saying it should be different or things like that. But just because people, we had received messages before that as well, asking like, when are we going to get a big like celebration about this and things like that? And being expected to do so, we were not able to because of what we know as truthful. That's just not something we were able to celebrate. But yeah, that leads us to kind of this divergence of how do we approach what is right and wrong, and how do we interact and discuss that with others? You know, it's not a easy thing. As Elliot mentioned earlier, fantasy often provides a great avenue for that, but it's a more real world conversation than, you know, hey, what investiture is going to be most potent in this situation? You know, like we're now talking real world. We're not talking just Cosmere.
And because we're bridging into a real world philosophical and theological conversation and a really big, complex one as well, we often, I think very quickly, get into a divergence of thought where as we start to talk through this as a community in a dialogue, kind of back and forth, statements start to get made on either side of whatever the positions are that just don't make any sense to the other side. And I think that comes from, well, honestly, I think most of it, if not all of it, traces back to some of kind of the initial foundational beliefs that you might hold, such as, do you even believe there is a God? If you do believe there is a God, and that might be the Christian God, it might be some other higher power, then you're going to approach your philosophy and your laws of how you live life far differently than someone who believes there is no God. And so statements that we might make don't make sense to someone who is over there going, well, there is no God, so why in the world would you impose your view of morality on someone else? And maybe over on our side, we're going, well, you don't get to make up the rules because there is a God and he's the one who makes up the rules. And that kind of divergence of thought, it puts us on kind of different thought trains already from the beginning. And not to say that we can't have a conversation, I think we can, but I think it is important to maybe acknowledge that our underlying assumptions are a little bit different, and we have to be a little bit careful not to talk past each other, which is why we're kind of splitting this episode a little bit into two different parts, where this first part might be kind of trying to have that discourse, that dialogue with someone who is on a very different framework of life, whereas later on in this episode, we're going to address things more of, okay, if you do subscribe to the same kind of fundamental beliefs as we do, here's some of the thoughts that we think come after that.
In that discussion thread that we had after episode 256, there was a decent amount of that where someone would make a claim on any topic. It got into very many different topics, not just Renarin and Relaine's romantic relationship. And there were claims made that are based on a certain pre-existing foundation, and the pre-existing foundation was where we actually had differing opinions. So it really actually turned into a lot of discussions about the Bible and is the Bible the true word of God and discussions like that. If you don't agree with us that the Bible is the true word of God, then you're not going to subscribe to the same conclusions that we come to. And we're not trying to convince you of it either. So hear that we honor your thoughts on it and we are completely fine disagreeing with you. And that's fine.
One other comment that we got from a couple of different people was something along the lines of, even if you aren't hating people, making the claim you're making is hurtful to others. And that was a comment that I've been thinking quite a bit about, because this is such a difficult subject, a tricky one, a topic that gets down to the core of kind of how people view their own identity. And I do want to be very careful what we say and how we say it. I think words absolutely do matter. And I don't want to go down any kind of path to say, oh, it doesn't matter what I say. You be you and ignore me. That's not what I want to say. I think what I do say, it does matter. But I also think that for us to be able to have a conversation, one where we're all seeking to find what the ultimate truth is, I think we have to have conversations where we can make claims, where we can say this thing, you know, insert action here, whatever that action might be, is wrong. I think we have to be in a world where we can talk about that, and that we don't necessarily automatically perceive that as an attack, because I definitely don't mean it as one. When I say that I believe homosexuality is wrong, I don't mean that to be attack on anyone. I simply mean it as a statement that I think has facts that support it found in the Bible. But I can still love you as a person. I can still have a relationship with you. I can still talk about this with you and us disagree on kind of what the right and wrong here is. And so as an open dialogue, as a space where we can talk about this, explore this, like I was talking about at the beginning of stories being kind of that space that we can do that, I think it's okay for us to say statements like that and then explore it and talk about it with each other. So not saying what it is that we believe, I don't necessarily think is the right path. And I don't know that that would be us being honest to the faith that we come from, and being able to read this story, interact with these characters, and then react to them and respond to them and reflect on them and ourselves in the context of what we believe, I think is actually a really important process for us to go through. And that's kind of what we intended with both the statement we made in the original chapter and in this episode here. So my hope is that we can acknowledge that and have a conversation about it.
One of the most common questions we received, and also I think probably the best question to talk about we received, is why single this out? Why are we talking about Renard and Relaine and saying things along the lines of, you know, homosexual relationship is sinful? Why are we talking about that in a fantasy world in this situation, especially with characters who are rotten and sinful, if we're looking through that same lens? Right? Why did we even bring this up? Why did we make a comment to begin with? And the main difference with this is all these other things that have been wrong. Those are things that have been understood to be wrong on average by our community that we've gotten to talk with. And this is a different one in that we've been looked at, we've been asked to, you know, openly celebrate and get really excited about this. And that's just a place that we could not go. And then we also couldn't, we felt it would not be genuine to try and fake a reaction. We also don't think that'd be fair or honest. That's the main reason why, is that there's a bit of a difference there. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're all created equal, and frankly, if the concept of what is right and wrong is up to me, it looks different for whoever is setting that. And so we're not following a human-made set of standards, but something else. And that's something that wasn't in line with what most people were looking for. And so conversation came up. And so that's where we are now. You know, why didn't we talk about Zeth killing? Why didn't we talk about Sadeus? I mean, like so many others. Yeah, that's the main reason is there's just a difference in how it's viewed.
The distinction between why did you not single out and denounce all of this other stuff that is clearly a sin in the Bible is because it is clearly presented as wrong in the book. And the book, I think you have to be deliberately reading around a celebration of this. The book clearly does celebrate this relationship between Renarin and Relaine. And so we felt that we needed to make our statement of, no, we think this is wrong. We're not going to celebrate it with you, with the book, which is why we made our comments.
And I think we also felt like we needed to say something specifically here. Along those lines, Trevor, what you're saying of it felt like the book was building this as a major point. I mean, I think the major point of Renarin's character story, that this is the climax of his development as a character, is this moment. And to either not talk about this or to only talk about this briefly and just kind of let it go implied what our thoughts were on it, I think would be a disservice to this story. I think that would not have been fair to Renarin as a character, to Brandon as an author, with Brandon bringing this in as a major plot point in this book. I think it was important that we talked about it, and we couldn't talk about it without making this viewpoint very clear for the reasons Paul was talking about of, we knew this was going to come as, you know, maybe a shock or a surprise to a lot of people who would maybe assume that our stance would be otherwise, or that maybe kind of the larger, more popular opinion on this might be the other direction. And so it was important for us to make this clear. This is why we're going to talk about this in the context that we are, and it's because of our beliefs that we have.
Another question we got is why now, because we've had other homosexual relationship characters in our books before. And the answer to that is because we felt that Renarin was a mainstream line character enough to comment on it. We didn't feel the need to comment on it previous to this, because our most mainline character before this was, what, Renette in Mistborn Era 2? And now that it has such a forefront of Wind and Truth, we felt the need to address it specifically.
Yeah, we never received questions from anybody. Oh, what do you think about like Renette, or what do you think about these like other things? And we received multiple questions about this. So it was just something we knew we'd have to talk about. But we also, at the same time, I think got the question of, you know, do we think Sanderson should have included this? And we all fully agree, yes, he can write whatever he wants to. We're not saying, oh no, this book needs to be exactly like without fault and no sinners in this book. You know, like obviously that's impossible and would not make for a very entertaining story in a fantasy setting. And so, yeah, absolutely. And it opens up conversation and, you know, many other things. Anyone can write what they want to write, how they want to write. It's a great story. This didn't taint the story or anything like that. But we also get to react to whatever we read.
Well, and Paul, I would actually take it a step further of, I think our reaction to a story is everything. That's the whole point of a story, is what are you and I going to do with it? And so that point of, what is your reaction to what you're reading? What do you do with that information that was just given to you? Is incredibly important. And I completely agree with what you said. Would I say Sanderson should not have written this? No, I would not say that. I think he's reflecting character journeys that probably a lot of people in the world have gone through. I think a lot of people probably relate to Renarin a lot. And that makes for a powerful story. And I think that's a good thing. But how I respond to that and how I talk about that and how I try to seek the ultimate truth in my life based on the story I'm going through, that's incredibly important too. And we have to talk about it in that light.
It's worth bringing up here Sanderson's On Renard and Relaine essay. He, I think in January of this year, in response to Wind and Truth and people asking him why did he include this, posted an essay. If you haven't read it, pause this, go read it. I'll link it. He essentially says, I included this to shatter the us versus them. I wanted to put myself in Renarin's shoes and portray him as honestly as I could. And I think that's a very amiable goal from Sanderson. Another essay of his, one of his most popular, is Outside, of bringing other people who feel on the fringes of society or community and bringing them in and making them feel welcome. That itself is a very amiable goal. I can get behind that. That doesn't mean that the actions of Renard and Relaine are good and that we should be celebrating them. I stand by the fact that they are bad and we should not be celebrating them, which is why we have been making our statements.
I want to say what I got out of that essay that he wrote, and just reading this book and the story overall, was I think I did learn something about myself. And this is an area where I think I should be working harder to bring people that are outside inside, just like Brandon talks about in that story. I love that concept of stories as a place that we can connect with the people in the world that are hurting, or the people that feel outcast or abandoned or oppressed, and reaching out and connecting with them and loving them and taking care of them. That is absolutely what I think I'm called to as a Christian. And so one of my takeaways from all of this, I think, is I should be on the lookout in my life for the Renarins out there. I should be looking for the best ways I can find to love those kinds of people that are confused, that are not sure how to view the world, that are always kind of in that awkward space where they don't know how the rest of the world is perceiving them, and they're unsure and they're afraid. You know, that's kind of Renarin's journey, is coming through that into where we see him now. And I think I need to do a better job of helping those people come inside.
All right. Moving into the second half of this episode, this will be for those of you who align more closely with us or 100% with us. So if you still disagree with us after all that has been said, you're still welcome to stay, though some claims that will be made in the tail end of this episode, you're just not going to agree with, but we're going to build on them to make a few points. So I'm going to throw back to Elliot to kick us off for this.
Yeah, so kind of with that as the framework of kind of the rest of these topics, we're going to address specifically from our Christian viewpoint. And yeah, a lot of what we say here, if you don't think Christianity is right or there is a God, probably aren't going to make a lot of sense to you. But yeah, please listen along if you'd like to. I think the first thing I wanted to talk about here was when I read a section of a story like this, where a character is starting to do things that are wrong and they are being celebrated in the book, I start to get a bit of a pit in my stomach. I start to get this just kind of uneasy feeling, this, oh, I don't know what I think about this. You start to like wrestle with yourself a little bit. I'm sure many of us, all of us probably out there, hit that point sometimes in our lives where we go, oh man, I'm just not sure about this. I'm going to wrestle with this for a little bit. Maybe another comparison to make within the Stormlight Archive setting would be when Adolin takes down Sadeas in a back corridor of Urethiru, right? That was a moment in the story where I think maybe there's quite a few people out there celebrating that. Maybe the book is celebrating that. Maybe not. That comes up again later as maybe kind of a bit of his journey, right? And I don't necessarily want to compare that to the Renarin story we're talking about, but that moment was another moment where I kind of got that pit. I was like, oh, I don't think I like that. I had to wrestle with that. And it makes me think of, there's a section of C.S. Lewis's writing where he talks about how because we live in a created world where there are things of beauty and those things of beauty reflect God, there are right responses to the things around us. And this is kind of one of those instances maybe where I think that pit in your stomach that you might get, that could be a sign of maybe that's the right response to this, of that uncomfortableness we feel. Maybe that is kind of a sign of, yeah, I don't know, maybe this isn't the right way to be perceiving this kind of thing. So I think my takeaway there is sometimes things are going to happen. Sometimes we're going to read about things and I think it's okay to be uncomfortable. I think it's okay to read something and go, I'm not sure about this. And kind of what comes next allows us to really wrestle with that and figure out our thoughts. What do we believe? Go talk to someone we trust. Go read the Bible. Go do some research. Go read, you know, C.S. Lewis or some other authors that we trust to kind of formulate our thoughts on that. But that kind of trigger of moment might lead you down a path that you should be going down of kind of figuring out how you should be thinking about it.
I'm going to throw it to Paul here in a second, but Paul had a specific statement to make to address some feedback that we got of, hey guys, I'm a Christian and you guys are being really disrespectful about this and you should be celebrating this along with everybody else. And with that said, Paul, go ahead.
Thanks. Lobbing it up there. So yeah, just to be very blunt forward, like about the things we received, we received questions of like, oh, you know, my church, or I know a Christian who has found it in their hearts to celebrate homosexuality, to celebrate other things. Why can't you guys? And talking about this as a Christian, you know, first and foremost, number one important thing is belief in Jesus Christ being God's son who died for us on the cross to forgive us of our sin. If you believe in that, frankly, you've done it. That's all you got to do. You know, that's number one. But Jesus says, come as you are, but he does not say, stay as you are. And so then if we are looking at the Bible as the word of God, then it is the authority on things in life, in what we do in life. And the Bible, God's word, is the authority on this, not us. Our job is to seek and uphold God's truth, right? The truth, the capital truth, not a truth like in Stormlight where it's actually a lie, you know, like the truth of the world and the things in it, right? It is clear on the fruits of the Spirit, what is good, how to see evidence of someone, peace, patience, love, kindness. Let's see if I can get them all. Gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. It's self-control. I probably missed
self-control.
One. Yeah. I know it ends on self-control. But, you know, it's also clear that homosexuality is a sin. And so, what do you do? There are plenty of people in our community, people in my life, friends, family, who are a part of the LGBTQ. How do you love someone if something that they take such a big part in is something that you're saying, I can't stand for that. I can't celebrate that. Well, one quick note, I think it comes down to a matter of identity. Our identity is in Christ and that we are made in his image. But if you put your identity in other things, it gets awfully personal if someone disagrees with that thing, right? You know, like when people say, there is no God, how could you believe that? Yeah, sometimes that hurts my feelings a bit because I've experienced, you know, God's goodness and kindness, right? But that's the thing. But essentially, as Christians, we are to stand strong. We are to stand up to sin, but we are not to stand against our neighbor. Also, I want to say, because homosexuality, LGBTQ, like in this topic, it just sounds like we're throwing them under the bus. They get a terrible rap. And I'm sure many people, Christians and non-Christians, have seen where Christians are belligerent against this specifically and turning a blind eye to other things. And I just want to echo that as we believe in the Bible, we understand that there's an equality of sin, right? That homosexuality does not make you worse than someone who's a liar. It doesn't make you worse than someone who's anything. Like, there's no, oh, my sin is better than your sin because I'm not doing what you're doing, at least, right? It is equal. You've all fallen short of the glory of God. Sin in God's eyes is equal. And so I have to say that I think homosexuality gets a really, really bad rap. I think personal theory is that I think that gets tied up in identity as well. But yeah, that's a big tangent to say God's word is the authority on things. What does he say about this? And then also to say we're to love everyone. Obviously, the three of us are sinners, you know, and there's no I'm above you because I sin differently than you, you know, public or private, it's all wrong. So, yeah, that's my 2-minute preach for you, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and I like that a lot, Paul. I liked how you broke that down because I think it ties it back to where we opened with this discussion to begin with, which for me is that we as humans, we as the created children of God, we all have the same value in his eyes, and no amount of sin can reduce your value even the slightest. And that is an incredible concept of when we talk about things like what is right and wrong and lifestyles and people living in these lifestyles are sinning or doing wrong, that in no way should imply or equate to lesser value. And the fact that God sees all of us as not only just valuable, but incredibly valuable, so incredibly valuable that he decided to send his son to be tortured and die to save us. Like, that's just so, it's just so cool to me. So incredibly uplifting and encouraging that that's the state of things, that nothing I can do is going to separate me from God forever.
Something else we got that I want to touch on real quick is why would you project your personal beliefs onto this story? And I want to answer that question with what Elliot was just talking about. The entire reason why Dalinar's dialogue at the end of The Way of Kings of trading one priceless sword for 5,000 men's priceless lives and why that's a bargain is because I believe that. And that's my personal belief. The entire prism of how I approach Stormlight is projecting my own beliefs onto it. So to not exclude this category of my personal beliefs is important. And to reiterate, I do believe that every person's life is priceless. And Dalinar's behavior at the end of The Way of Kings should be celebrated and is properly celebrated. And Sadeas cannot wrap his head around it. That is very good writing of everybody's life is priceless. And to trade one priceless sword for however many bridgemen he gets, I forget. But that aligns with my personal beliefs, and that's really, really cool. All right, I'll throw it to Elliot to close us out.
Yeah, let me bring it home for us. So I think for me, the takeaway is kind of how we've explored all of this topic is that it all begins with stories. You know, this whole conversation came from us reading a very awesome story by Brandon Sanderson and the TED Talk I mentioned at the beginning from Ian MacArthur, which, again, I'm going to plug it again. If you haven't watched it, it's awesome. And he is such a nerd. He talks about Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Brandon Sanderson all in a TED Talk. Go watch it. If you are someone who likes listening to our podcast, you will like this TED Talk. I guarantee it. But in that TED Talk, kind of trying to bring it back full circle, he does such a great job of explaining how stories allow us to explore these complex topics. And I'm really glad that Brandon's book, When in Truth, has led us to do just that, that we can wrestle with this, that we can think about what this means to us, that how we process it, what we do think is right and wrong based on what we've just read. And I think for me, stories go even further than just that. Stories can not only allow us to explore complex topics, they can fundamentally shape how we see the world and how we see who we are. I know everything goes back to Tolkien with me, but it really does. Tolkien writes about this in multiple places. There's a poem he wrote called Mythopoeia, where he addresses this very specifically about the importance of myth and story and what it brings to our perception of reality. But I think my favorite place where Tolkien writes about it is in his essay on fairy stories. And it's in that essay where he brings it all back to Jesus, where he writes about how stories are awesome, fairy stories are awesome, but the greatest fairy story of all time is Jesus Christ. And of all the stories out there, the story of Jesus Christ is the one that we wish the most would be true. And the most beautiful part of all of this is that the story of Jesus Christ, it is true. And we can take solace in that.
Way to go, Tolkien.
All right. We can call it there. Thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot.
On we go.
See ya.